A few days ago, I was trying to find out something about my child, but I ended up discovering something about you and me. And that is what I want to present to you in today's episode. Today's episode, dear listener, is going to be a true test of how we've been treating ourselves and others around us. Are you ready? Are you ready to dive deep into who we have become and understand what we've been doing wrong all these years? Then, dear listener, I welcome you to today's episode of the Mahakatha Meditation Mantras podcast. I'm your host, Preeti, and like I've suggested today, we are talking about something that is deeply rooted in who we have become and that directly relates to our childhood. I'm a mother to a toddler, and having a toddler at home is a complete adventure by itself. Their behaviors are constantly changing, they are constantly developing new abilities, physically, mentally, even emotionally. So I make it a point to read up a lot on these stages of development so that I know what my child is learning and growing through right now. And the other day I found out that my child is now learning and developing guilt and shame. He's developing the ability to feel guilty for something he did or feel shame about something he did. He's developing the ability to feel embarrassed or humiliated. And that must be very new to him. And for me, I had no idea that this happens so early in life, that a child has to take in and process such heavy, such intense emotions so early in life. On the other hand, I also think it's amazing that we build our emotional muscle this early in life as well. And while I kept reading about how my child is developing the ability to experience guilt and shame, I also learned about things that parents and people in general should avoid doing around these children. They say that there are these three things that should not be done in order to not damage the child's conscience or hamper his or her confidence. Now, my child is 3 years old, and this applies to him. But you and I are much, much older. We developed guilt and shame years ago. And what I'm about to share, like I said, is a true test of how we've been developing and processing guilt and shame all these years and treating the guilt and shame within others around us. They say that once the child develops guilt and shame, one should stop doing these three things. Number one is stop attaching labels to them. When I say labels, I mean even the simplest seeming, most harmless seeming labels, like the naughty one, or the funny one, or hey, you are the shy one, you're the troublemaker. It is advised to stop attaching these labels to them, to stop defining these things for them. Because if they attach a lot of value to your words, if you are someone very special in their lives, and additionally, if they tend to have a lower self-esteem or an incomplete developing, growing self-esteem, then they're going to take these labels very seriously. They're going to embrace these labels and adjust their behavior to match these labels. So if you're calling someone the funny one, they're going to develop this need, this forced necessity to always be funny, to always crack a joke, to always be sarcastic, even at the cost of hurting someone they love. If you call someone the shy one, then they're going to develop the behavior of being shy, being socially challenged, lacking initiative, and they're going to struggle in their social relationships. Why would you want to do that to someone? Now I want us to think, How many labels did we attach to people around us? How many people did we call the funny one, the shy one, the talkative one, the selfish one, the unreliable one? I'm sure many of us use some of these labels even today because we are unaware of how it affects the other person. And how many labels, my dear listener, have been attached to you all your life? How many of your behaviors have you altered to fit your labels? And if you were to drop the labels that were attached to you, who would you want yourself to be? Coming to the second thing that must be avoided while dealing with a child who is developing guilt and shame is stop mocking or criticizing them, especially in front of others. Stop mocking a child. Stop laughing at them. Stop mimicking what they're saying in a funny way, even though to you it's just funny. But to them, it must be hurtful because their emotions are still raw and they don't understand your adult intention. And when we criticize them, especially in front of others, we might feel that we're doing it for their own good. We might feel that we're being practical parents, we're disciplining them, or we are grounding them by criticizing them and showing them that they're not perfect. But when we do it so directly, so harshly, and especially in front of others, when we say, "You're doing it wrong," when we say, "That's not a circle you've drawn there," or, "How many times do I have to ask you to clean your room?" Or, "I don't have all day, can you speed up?" Or when we are completely fed up and we say, "You're being a very, very bad child right now." The child internalizes these things and first gets hit with guilt. And then, on a deeper level, if it remains unaddressed, it develops into shame. And I don't think it hurts less when we grow up either. I don't think we are immune to feeling hurt when someone criticizes us in public or when someone mocks us in public. It still hits us. It still makes us feel insulted and belittled. It still makes us feel like there may be something deeply wrong with us. And we may still carry the shame of something someone said, or the way they mocked us, or the way they told us that we're not good enough years ago. We may still be carrying those things in our hearts today. And the question I want to ask you is, how many people, whether kids or adults, have you done this to? Do you have a tendency to mock people, even just jokingly? Or do you have a tendency to criticize people, especially at your workplace or in your social relationships, unaware that there are other people around you? That is something I want you to think about. Now, the third thing on the list, the third behavior that we're supposed to avoid towards these gentle toddlers when they are developing guilt and shame, is to stop comparing them to others. This runs so deep down our childhood when we started feeling evaluated, started feeling judged, started feeling that our true value is when we are better than someone else, when we are more than someone else. And when we fail in that comparison, we are a lesser being. We are not good enough. We are unlucky. We are untalented, or we are stuck. If you are someone really, really important in someone else's life, and you constantly compare this one person to someone else of their age or caliber or career path, even if you're saying that, "Hey, you're better than those guys. Hey, you are way more successful than those other guys or those other kids. Hey, you are way more talented, way more special than the others." These are words that they're going to carry, they're going to believe, and they're going to act upon for a very, very long time. And eventually, they're either going to develop arrogance, which makes them act in ways that are hurtful and unacceptable to others, because of which they will struggle in their relationships, at their workplace, or they will develop really low self-esteem and they might not even attempt to realize their full potential. The question is, were you constantly compared to others? Were there voices in your life that told you you were better because you were better than others, or you were small because you didn't meet their expectations and comparisons? How has being compared shaped your personality and the way you live your life? I think these three pointers are really important tools that we can use to analyze why we are the way we are in certain aspects and to gently put a stop to any destructive patterns that have impacted our lives, that have limited our lives, so that we don't become carriers of them, so that we don't start attaching labels to other people, start mocking them, criticizing them, start comparing them to others and lowering their self-worth. It's important to think about these three things, dear listener, so that you become a pattern breaker and you become the kindest voice in the room, no matter where you go. And so that you slowly release all the guilt and shame that you have been carrying for so, so long. Speaking of releasing these burdens, I bring you a beautiful mantra this week to help you do just that. And the mantra is the Durge Smrita mantra. The Durge Smrita mantra is a divine chant dedicated to the mother goddess Durga, who is known to be fierce and yet kind, who is known to give courage and strength to anyone who asks her for it with true intention. And simply put, it is a prayer to awaken our most enlightened, most fearless, and wisest voice, while tuning down all the other negative voices that we've been listening for so long. So if you do not have the Durge Smrita mantra with you, or if you haven't practiced meditating with this mantra, you can avail this mantra at a 30% discount by using the code in the description of this episode. And I want you to try something interesting. I want you to come back to this episode when you feel like you have the time and space to ask yourself these hard-hitting questions. Come back to this episode and also listen to the Durge Smrita mantra in the background as you reflect on your past, on your wounds and your scars. And with the help of the soothing mantra, you will not only arrive at answers, but you will also begin to slowly and gently experience deep relief from whatever has been weighing you down. So go ahead, give this mantra a try and suggest it to people who really need it in their lives. My dear listener, I hope you enjoyed what we discussed in today's episode. And if you did, I would request you to leave us a review and tell me what you think of this episode and of all the episodes you've been listening to till now. We would love to hear your experience of our podcast. Thank you so much, dear listener, for joining in. And I hope what we discussed today stays with you throughout the week. Because next week when I come back, I'm going to talk about three things that we should start doing to counter this guilt and shame. Until then, my dear listener, stay blessed.